time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Today I've got a topic to speak about. When it's this time of the year, everyone wants to know something about it, but they just want to know, okay, so what is the report on it? The topic is hurricanes. So today, those of you that know me close know that I'm a big note taker, so you're going to hear me possibly on this podcast. You're going to hear me shuffling through a few of my notes, take some great notes. And if you want to know what to do before, during, and after the prep side of it for a hurricane, you can go to the Joey B's Outdoor Adventure fan page on Facebook. You can like the Facebook page, become one of my fan members. On there, scroll down, and you'll see I have a really cool list of what you would do prep-wise. This show was brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Some of you are going, well, I guess I'll search for it during a hurricane. Well, the time to do it is way before the hurricane. And then the other side of it is you can use that same list for when you think there's going to be power outages, pre-blizzards. So the same list, you just modify down a little bit. It works all the time. So let's talk hurricanes. And if you notice that there's a certain time of the year that we have hurricanes, the reason for that is the fuel for a hurricane is warm water. And warm water, you know, when I talk about warm, cold, hot, cold, they're relative terms. So as a scientist, let's give it a number. We consider warm water to be 80 degrees F Fahrenheit or greater. So if you notice that, we always find that in the tropics somewhere. And let's see, here's one of the cooler but crazier facts. All of the hurricanes that hit the eastern side of the continental U.S. originate in Africa. How crazy is that? That these storms start all the way across the ocean, make their way, and we'll talk about the progression and how they become a hurricane, and they make the progression. But there's a primary reason for a hurricane. They take heat and moisture from the tropics, and they distribute them to cooler, drier climates. So when you think about ecologically, there's a real reason why we have hurricanes, and hurricanes, there's an importance to them. Well, when they are starting off the coast of Africa, we don't call them hurricanes. They are actually called a tropical depression. I know that. I believe it was Jimmy Buffett who wrote a song about tropical depression. And these are storms with rotation speeds, wind speeds, up to 35 miles per hour. When they go over 35 miles per hour, they are now a tropical storm. We now give them a name. Before that time, they are just a number. So it would be like Tropical Depression 305. When it got to that 35-plus miles an hour wind speed, and then it'd become a tropical storm, and we'd give it a name. And people always ask me, so where do the names come from? You can go to the National Weather Service, and you could see a list of the next 100 names that we have. And you can, if you're looking for your own name and you don't see it there, your name may have been used, and you can look in the archives, and inside the archives, they will actually have all the storms that passed, their names, where they hit, damage, all the information you need there. But here's another cool fact. Hurricanes used to only be female names. Then we realized, hey, we're going to run out of names, so guess what? We better give them male names. And then we realized as time was going on that America, the melting pot, all nationalities. So we started to give hurricanes, we'll call them cultural names. So we've had Hurricane Gustavo, a number of names. So really cool. So we added them all into the mix, which we should. And let's go back to that tropical storm coming across, because every tropical storm does not become a hurricane, and every tropical depression does not become a tropical storm. But when a tropical storm, when the winds reach 74 plus miles per hour, we actually then call it a hurricane. So whatever name, if we said it was Tropical Storm Gustavo, it is now Hurricane Gustavo. You know, I like the name Hurricane, but in Australia, they call them Willy Willys. So I'd rather like have Willy Willy Gustavo just be something that'd be really neat. Now, let's figure out, all right, so hurricanes and what makes them so bad. So we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about air pressure so you can learn a little bit. And here's the deal on this one. Probably just about every day you look at a weather guy on the news and he's talking about the barometer and you look at the numbers and you just go, And if you ask most adults, not kids, about a barometer, they'd be going, yeah, that's the weather thing there. Well, guess what? Let's talk about barometric numbers. And this will help you out for your everyday life. But then obviously we can put it in the context of hurricanes. So when you're looking at the barometer, we look at a few numbers. And we look at 29 point something. And we say that's pressure that's getting lower. When you have 29 point something, 29.07, 87, whatever the number is, you're talking about it's going to be a bad weather day. When I say bad weather, we're talking about rain, snow, something like that. Because, hey, I don't think either of those bad weather happen. I like rain. I love snow. And when you get to a 30 point something on the barometer, we say that they are good days, sunny days, high pressures inside. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about high pressure, low pressure. So we need to take a look at those because when you get a hurricane, they are deep, low pressure systems. That's where we get 28 point something. So the low pressure. So let's talk low pressure for a little bit. Low pressure does this. It is air spinning counterclockwise. It spins upward. The air is rising. And guess what? When air is rising, then we get clouds to form. So if you are at home listening to this podcast, please do this. If you are driving in your car, please do not do this. But if you were to put your hand flat on a table and then you were to spread your fingers out and slowly spin your wrist counterclockwise and have your fingers rise as you're doing it, that's exactly how low pressure spins. If you're in your car, picture this, but keep your eyes on the road. Make sure that you're safe in what you're doing. And when air is rising, it is warm, moist air, as it's rising, that's how clouds are formed. So that's why on low pressure days, 29 point something barometer days, that's why we get rain. High pressure is the opposite. It's when air spins clockwise. And if you were to have your hands, once again, if you're driving, hands are on the wheel. If you're at home, your hand could be on a table, but your hand is now upward and you're going to spin it clockwise. And as you spin it clockwise, it flattens out on the desk. Well, what's happening is air is sinking. And if air is sinking, clouds evaporate. That's why on high pressure days, you get good weather. So if you're ever looking at a weather map and you see the big L's, the big H's, you now know which way the air is spinning. So you can actually tell then, all right, so I know that, okay, it's a good weather day because you have high pressure. Or if the meteorologist or you just look at the numbers, when I'm talking to younger people lecturing somewhere and they're asking me questions about just weather and meteorology in general, I'll just tell them, after you learn enough, you can actually turn the sound off. Just look at the numbers. You can see an H on a map and go, high pressure day. Family might say, hey, you know, let's go take a beach day today. And you see an L coming in on the map. You go, no. It's not a good day to go down the shore. It's going to be a low pressure. And you'll amaze your parents if you're one of the younger folks out there. Actually, I think you'll amaze anyone if you start shooting off these facts. Well, let's talk about the hurricanes now because we actually have both of these systems, low and high pressure, inside of it. And I'll share with you how that happens. And if you notice that with a hurricane, we have huge winds. Well, let's talk about this. If you have a deeper low, so the low number is way lower, 28 point, and a higher high, 30.97, something really high, you get stronger winds because winds are caused when air goes from high pressure to low pressure. So when this is happening, that's how greater winds occur. And you know this by you all have used that great wind machine. You've all used a vacuum cleaner. And what comes out the back of a vacuum cleaner is air. So when you have air going from high pressure outside the machine to low pressure inside the machine, what comes out the backside? Wind. That's really your wind machine that you've learned all about. Well, we have inside the hurricane, if we were going to say, okay, let's have the build a hurricane kit. Well, inside the hurricane, you have all these, we'll call them thunderstorm cells, cumulonimbus clouds, these huge monstrous clouds. They may start at about 4,000 feet and go up to like 35,000 feet. They're monstrous storms. For those of you that get hit with, and I'll just go to a summer storm, you get hit with one of these huge summer storms and it's raining torrentially on you. It is a thunderstorm cell, this cumulonimbus cloud, with all this moisture raining down on you. And if you ever notice that, it rains for a real long time, real hard, and then maybe 10, 15 minutes, it begins to slow down a little bit, and then it begins again. It's because one thunderstorm cell was on top of you. It is moved. It's still connected by a few clouds, and that's where it's slowing down. And then the next cell comes. Well, if you are building a hurricane, you'd have all these cells, bang, 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 going all the way out, and you'd have them going all the way out. And in the very center, you'd have high pressure there. That is the eye of the storm, and I'll get to the eye in a second. And there's your high pressure, and then you have all the low pressure going out, all these cumulonimbus clouds, these cells that are, you know, going all the way across. Well, in that eye, it is strongest when the eye is real tight because it's got this low angle of momentum. It's like if you were ever watching a figure skater tucked in. So you watch this and a figure skater is spinning and he or she has their arms out and they're spinning at a pretty rapid speed. And as they want to go faster, they slowly tuck their arms in toward their body and they lower their body and they're tucked in. And when you have this tight tuck, they move really fast. Well, the eye has a great pressure, higher the high, when it's tucked in. So air pressure is going down, eyes getting tighter. Well, a hurricane's job is to cool off ocean water, and it causes upwellings of oceans, things like that. And we need to talk about, all right, so you now know a little bit about hurricanes. Well, what saves the East Coast? And I'm talking specifically on the East Coast today. I will get to you West Coasters another time. And what saves the East Coast from hurricanes? Well, a couple things. One of them happens to be the jet stream, the upper level wind field. And the upper level wind field moves from west to east. So yes, West Coast people, we get it from you. And it moves, and it is moving. And we hear the word jet stream. People say, well, what jet stream? That's where the jets fly. You know, so you're talking about 30,000 feet and above. And you have these strong level wind fields. If you ever notice that if you're going from the East Coast to the west, if you're going from, I'll just say, from New York to L.A., it takes you about 5 hours in a plane. And if you're going from L.A. to New York, it takes you about 4.5 hours because you're going against the jet stream. So the jet stream blowing, it's actually, and I describe it this way, it's like a big old lineman in football. And when he pushes against a smaller guy, he moves it out. Well, the jet stream actually gets to force the hurricane and moves it off. Now, another thing is, as it hits cool water, the hurricane begins to break up. Well, if you think about this, you have in the Gulf of Mexico where most of our hurricanes, you know, they come across from Africa in tropical storms, now hurricanes, and they're picking up the fuel, that warmer water there. But as they come up the coast, as they're coming up the coast, they're hitting progressively cooler and cooler water. And that's one of the things. And the third thing that really slows down a hurricane is landmarks, land formation. Well, you know what? If it hits a mountain, that's a wonderful thing. But if it hits homes, that is not a wonderful thing because if you notice, much of the devastation typically occurs, and I'm just going to say in Florida, Louisiana, you know, Georgia, sometimes the Carolinas, a lot of the damage is there. And what it's happening is it is actually hitting those and slowing down as it hits those landmarks. In this case, it could be natural landmarks like forests and things, but homes. So much to the chagrin of the people in the south, the people in the north on the East Coast are aided by some of the destruction that there. And by no means nothing that anyone ever wants to see, but that's just a piece of it. Well, one of the other things we need to know about with hurricanes is storm surge. And storm surge, think about if you've ever pulled the, like you filled up your sink or something, your tub, and you pull the plug, and you see the water racing down. Well, what we need to understand is the storm surge is what really happens with a rapid rise in the tide. And on top of this, you're getting large waves from the storm. So this is a major cause of damage to the coastlines, the storm surge. And if you think about the beaches that actually have huge slopes to them, and let's play the make-believe right now that you are a skateboarder, whether you can skateboard or not, whether you're coordinated or not. And I say, okay, which type of hill do you want to go down? And somebody's going, yeah, the big hill. Well, if you have beaches that are sloped, it's a gravity thing. And then they're sloped very steep, and you pull the plug of your drain. Well, what happens? You go faster. Well, the water goes faster. And the storm surge I describe, it's like this huge claw. And we're talking about storm surges most times right at the end of hurricanes, ripping out the beaches at this point in time. Well, beaches do get destroyed, and somehow we need to put those beaches back on. So on the East Coast, we have a program called the Beach Replenishment Program. The Beach Replenishment Program is where we will actually put sand back on your beach. And you go, so where does the sand come from? Well, I say that if you go to the strip mall and you go to the store Sand R Us, you go, no. Obviously, you can't go buy sand. And think about the billions and billions and billions of tons that are ripped off. And people say, well, where'd the sand go? Well, then that storm surge, it got ripped out to sea. So in the beach replenishment program, we have ships. And this is actually, if you've never seen this, this is one of the cooler things to see and hear. And I'll explain the hear part in a little bit. Well, we have ships that will go offshore that will actually vacuum up the sand that's in the ocean that's got ripped out. They take these ships and they bring them as close to shore as they can. And then they have, and I call it a gunner on top. He's a guy who is actually shooting the sand back on to the beach. And it is one of the coolest things. It's like this, and once again, I said sound. It is one of these deafening sounds. So if you've ever had on the coast, east or west, and there's been a major hurricane of sorts, and you want to see the sand being put on the beach by these ships, the first thing you need to do is you just need to drive along the coast and listen. It is a deafening sound. I would be wearing headphones, and you watch this, and you will actually see the beaches get built or rebuilt. Here's one of the cooler things. I know personally of a mayor on a town. This one happens to be in New Jersey, and he doesn't ever want the beach replenishment program there, because the mayor is a surfer and he gets better waves because the beaches, instead of it being one continuous, you know, he gets better waves without the beach replenishment program. So that's one of the things that, you know, we need to think about. And here's probably one of the last things. But before I go to the last things, this podcast is brought to you by Tranquility Mountain. Have you seen the new Joey B Signature Series at TranquilityMountain.com, where adventures begin? And you can watch all of my episodes at JoeyB.tv. And if any of you have a question or about a new topic or the topic we're talking about now, you can tweet me at JoeyBNews. We may use your question on a future podcast. Again, that's at JoeyBNews on Twitter. Well, this most important thing to me is this. We need to have what I call is the CNC factor. The CNC factor is care and compassion. And this is always. It may be in your local town, whether it's a soup kitchen, Red Cross, food drives. You know, some people wait for a disaster. And again, it's just human nature. And then you find your Red Cross and you donate and all this. What happens if you actually put one item a week on your food bill? And again, doesn't matter whether you have a lot of money or a little money. When I say one item, it could be a jar of peanut butter. It could be, hey, every week pasta's on sale for 89 cents for a pound. And one item a week, and you have a little box in your basement. And when the box gets filled up, you just go down to your Red Cross, because they do need food all year long. So this care and compassion is this. The care and compassion is we need to be aware of things that happen. How do we take care of those folks? And as we take care of those folks, It is supporting your local Red Cross, supporting your local blood bank. When major disasters occur, anytime we can volunteer our services, but these same services, they need help during the year. So I think it is vital that we as a society begin to help each other. If you want to use my CNC, that's fine, care and compassion. And with my CNC, it is care and compassion, and that is always. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure.
That was awesome.